On the line now, I have Roisin Gordon, a musician and singer-songwriter. Hello, Roisin. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm not too bad, thanks. How are you?
Okay, give a little bit of your CV, where you're from, and I'm not going to ask you your age, so you're all right.
I'm from Sligo. I'm living in Liverpool now at the moment, and I've kind of moved all over the place as well, so...
So have you made it your base over there? I know you say you're moving. Is that your base?
It is. Well, I've been here for about nearly 2 years now, but I'm actually in the process of moving to Wales at the moment.
Wow, that's a beautiful part of the world. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous.
Lovely.
Good taste anyway. Okay, now, just give us a bit of a background about your music. How long have you been playing?
Playing since I was about 16, I suppose. Just got into a couple of bands when I was younger, played a few gigs in the local area. And then I suppose after university, everyone sort of went separate ways. So just decided to do it acoustically myself and have been doing gigs around the place since then.
Mm-hmm. Did you have your mind made up what you wanted to do while you were in college? Or did you have a sort of, you know, a wobbly moment when you sort of had to make big choices and what you wanted to do?
Yeah, no, I never really had a set plan. I always knew I wanted to do something creative. Ended up doing a degree in English. And then after that, just took a bit of time out and focused more on my music, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know it's a million miles away, but I was just watching a documentary on Johnny Giles last night, famous footballer,
yeah.
You know, and he was sort of saying to parents, make sure you get a trade. But for today's kids, if we're going into music, the parents will say, get a degree or get something. Have something to fall back on, always something to fall back on. Did you have to go through all of that?
Definitely, yeah. I think, I mean, especially when I was younger, the main focus for my parents and everything was to have something else as a backup there as well. But they were always really supportive of everything. And, you know, they were the ones that had to lug the equipment around to gigs and everything when I was younger. So.
Mm-hmm. And did you start off being the singer-songwriter, writing sort of one of these Puritans that say, well, I'm not going to do any covers at all to get heard. I'm just going to go out and do my own stuff.
No, it's probably the other way around, really. I mainly was doing covers, and I suppose it's a lot easier to get gigs doing covers. That's what people want. So it's only the last couple of years, really, I've been branching out a bit and trying to write my own songs and get those out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember many, many years ago someone saying that to me when there were two guys having an argument about the same thing, two singer-songwriters, and one guy says, I know, if you stick in a few covers, they will listen. And a lot of people that come to gigs, they don't know what's what, really, and sometimes they think you've written everything, or they come up and ask you, but it's a good way of getting your songs heard, especially if you do something that they know in the first place. Is that the sort of thing you found?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it gives you opportunities, I suppose, and I've played gigs in Ireland, in Australia, a few in Asia and over here as well, so it's kind of a foot in the door, I suppose, and once you're in there and people have had a look at you and seen what you like, then it's your opportunity then to start playing your own stuff.
Mm-hmm. And do you cut your claw to an extent when you're travelling around, or do you just do solo work? Do you get musicians in with you, depending on the size of the venue?
Just myself, really. I've been lucky that wherever I've gone and travelled to, I've always met people that have been willing to help me out. And a lot of the time as well, things have fallen into place. I've been playing at parties or just, you know, a little session in a pub, and then people have approached me to come and play in their bars. I got steady gigs in Australia that way and got offered steady gigs in Asia that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Which did you find the most satisfying, or is it more or less all this audience the same the world over? I mean, Irish go down very well. I know it's going to in Asia, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I love playing at home, but I think there's something slightly different about playing away, but also to an Irish crowd, because they're eager to hear someone from home. They're eager to hear a little bit of Irish music as well. So I probably enjoy that a little bit more, to be honest.
Okay, if I was to ask you a hard question now, this is, I have to say, Roisin, how would you describe your music?
It is acoustic singer-songwriter, but I suppose I've been influenced a lot by older blues music and soul and things like that. When I was younger as well, I did used to play the drums, so I think a little bit of that sort of percussive style has come out in the way I play, and you can hear that through the songs as well.
Mm-hmm.
a little bit of a mix of everything, I would say.
And you're not tempted at all to go up to what they call the Big Smoke, up to London at all, and spend a bit of time there?
Not at the moment. I think it would be a great opportunity as well, but I mean, Liverpool is a really musical city. There's plenty of gigs around, plenty of different music, so I'm quite happy where I am at the moment.
You can't beat Liverpool anyway, sure. And you've got the Cavern to go to as well.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about your single, Isn't It a Shame. Tell us what it's about.
Well, that one I wrote was about 2 or 3 years ago now. It was when I was actually living in Australia. So it's mainly just about being away from home, trying to establish a life for yourself, you know, form relationships, get a good job, things like that, and just mainly about that not always going the way that you planned it to. And I suppose I think that's something that a lot of younger Irish people can relate to, with having to go away quite a lot.
Okay, I'm going to be playing it when we're finished talking, and let our listeners have a listen to it. If people want to have access to your music, where can they get it?
That came out on the 26th, so it's on all the major platforms, really, Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. There is a lyric video on YouTube as well, if anyone wanted to have a look at that.
Okay. Is this your full-time job now, just playing music?
No, I have my day job as well, so I'm working in a bank. That's what I've been doing for the last few years, but just try and do the music around that as well.
Okay, so what's your regime? Do you sort of take a few times out sort of mentally when you're in work and say maybe write some songs as well? Or do you have a specific way of doing it?
I've got quite a handy situation, really. I work evening, so I work 3 to 11, so it gives me a lot of time in the mornings to get things done then, but there will often be times at work then something will pop into my head. I just have to continuously write things down and make sure I get to it then when I come home again. But I suppose it's just trying to balance having that day job and then doing the music around it as well.
Are you the type to carry a little notebook around which you could be sitting on a bus or a train and ideas pop into your head, you might hear a bit of a conversation? Is that type of thing you do as well?
I do, yeah. I have my little red notebook that comes to work and everywhere else with me. And that's something that was given to me in Australia by the person that's actually produced this song now, so it comes everywhere.
And you rob some of people's lives as well, maybe, and put their lives into the song and disguise it very well?
Sorry, what was that?
You know, we listen to your friends and stuff like that, things that happen to them. You maybe take note of those and put them into songs as well. We all have heartache in some way or other. And happiness as well, and happiness as well, we have to point out.
Yeah, I mean, even just little things people say that are quirky, your little quotes, anything like that, just stick it in and it might come in handy somewhere down the line.
Okay, well, I tell you what we need at home as well. We need some great female singers to come home and play as well, and I'd look forward to seeing if you come home. Any plans to come home and play around Ireland at all?
Not permanently at the moment, but I try to get home as often as possible, and I do need to try and pick up the gigs back at home as well.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah, I didn't mean for
you
permanently.
Next few months.
Okay. And have you got a favourite place, for instance, that you like to play?
I love playing at home in Sligo. I'm from Inniscrown, so it's right on the beach and everything, and get quite a lot of tourists there as well, so I do love playing at home.
Okay. Outdoor gig would be great, wouldn't it, on the beach?
Yeah, definitely. As long as the weather's all right.
Well, if you're not playing cricket, you'll be fine. It seems only rain when the cricket season starts. That's the way it works. Okay. Well, that's what I'll do now, Roisin. It's been fabulous talking to you, and success continue for you all the way, and I look forward to seeing you when you come home as well. So I'm going to play the song for you now, Isn't It a Shame? So I'll let you introduce it and tell us where it is available again.
Yeah, so the song's called Isn't It a Shame, and that's available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, and there's also a video on YouTube as well if you want to check it out. So.
Okay, thanks very much, Roisin.
Yeah, this, no problem, cheers.
And this is, of course, Roisin Gordon and her single, Isn't It a Shame.